This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate Baseball and the Sports Objective.
You're watching Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com on The Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live, our YouTube channel, and X as we talk East Carolina baseball. Land lies the previous week while also taking a look at what lies ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate Baseball.
Welcome into Extra Innings right here on The Sports Objective. Great week for the Pirates as they go 4-0. And feels very good, a lot better on definitely on the baseball diamond than the basketball court. That goes without saying. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from the great city and town of LaGrange, I'm talking about my good buddy Kyle from LaGrange, Bob.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? It's good to be 4-0. Wilmington Tuesday night was a mess, but it was good to get the W. And then handle business this weekend against Columbia was – basically going through the motions. I mean, it was almost too easy, even though sometimes the game's got a little competitive today. But it was just almost seemed too easy to get that sweep.
And by the way, Sarah Sanders says, Kyle, I didn't know you were umpiring today at third base. And
what?
I don't know what that means. But says, good evening, Kyle. Good evening,
guys. Was there bad calls?
Kyle's twin was working third base today, is what Justin said. I didn't get a chance to be at the game today.
A fat guy with a mustache and goatee?
I don't know, guys.
If there's one thing you guys don't want, you don't want me umpiring any damn thing. I promise you that.
He says Bubba can explain. Justin says Bubba can explain.
Bubba, explain.
Kyle, be nice to yourself. Don't call yourself fat, man. You know, something a little nicer, like pleasantly
plump. All right. Obese is crap. How about that? Bubba, explain.
We're off to a great
Justin
start.
Justin just sent me a picture from the home plate meeting today.
Well, now I'm going to see it.
Send it to the group.
Yeah, I'll forward that here in a little while, anyway, he was just saying that he said, hey, Kyle's brother was the ump today.
We're missing an opportunity. The sooner I can see this picture, the sooner I can react to it.
Justin says, laughing out loud, Bubba's all the way from China Grove in the great town right near Charlotte, and Matt Semenza all the way from the Commonwealth of Connecticut. How's it going, bro?
It's going well, man. Nice, good week of baseball to counteract the bad taste in my mouth from basketball earlier this week. So, thank God for baseball, and in a pretty good spot here heading into conference play.
Got to give some love to Shell and Shell Power, our good friend in Charlotte. He says, "What's up, boys? Guess who's number one in North Carolina in lacrosse? Randy's team is, and they're number 15 in the country, and that's Charlotte Catholic." So. Got to give a shout out to Randy and his team. And by the way, if we ever add men's lacrosse, we have a legacy recruit. Randy Powell is a guy that's been recruited by the biggest schools in the country when it comes to lacrosse. So there you go.
If we had a men's lacrosse anytime soon, I'm going to beat our athletic director with a stick, whoever it might be at the time.
Well, right, you don't have any money, so good. Let's start by the way, our great show is brought to you by pgxgloves.com. they've got everything, man. I'd say what golfing gloves it's about golf gloves about time to you can go to pgxgloves.com and check it out. And like Justin said, what a great weekend for baseball. Thank you, Justin. Yeah, how about the, by the way, our meteorologist, staff meteorologist, Kyle from LaGrange. I don't know if you can hear me, Kyle, but Matt and Bubba, did you see?
I mean, my internet connection is cutting in and out. But last thing I heard was staff meteorologist.
Yeah, Dave, I think you're having a little lag there. Just a heads up.
That's not even my fault. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's definitely on Dave's end because it's Dave. You might want to go out and come back in. You got a little lag.
Yep.
Yeah. So taking a look at this week, Pirates travel down to the Port City. Big midweek game, as it always is, with the Seahawks on UNC Wilmington there at Brooks Field. Excellent crowd, I think pushing 3,500 or so, but Brooks Field was packed. The Squawk's Nest, as they call it, out in left field and maybe that left center gap. Nice crowd out there that was letting the Pirate outfielders hear it, according to, what we've heard on other shows. And the Pirates certainly did not play well. Coach Godwin said that in the post game, and it really got probably a little bit uglier as the game went along, but found a way to get it done. 8-7 victors in 10 innings, and nice to pick up the midweek win over the Seahawks.
Absolutely. That was a crazy game, man. First of all, it was nice to beat them, especially in Wilmington. But it was just one of those crazy games where it almost seemed like, at one point, like we were trying to find ways to give that game away. Obviously, we weren't, but it was just the way it kind of shook out. But
they really did a nice job
in the midweek. Hey, any win for this team on a Tuesday is a great win.
There were times where that game seemed like, it was, you take it. No, we don't want it. You take it. Ugly baseball, really, but competitive game. But it was a fun game. We're a much better team than Wilmington. We're much better than one run. But it was good to get the win. We have not played particularly well in the midweek. Hadn't played horrible, just hadn't come away with many wins. So got Elon. I don't know what the Phoenix are doing so far this year. But that park is conducive to a lot of home runs. So, but nice to get the win over Wilmington Tuesday night and, carried that momentum to the home series against Columbia.
No doubt. Hey, guys, we got, like you talked about, Justin is saying he thinks the next four games are winnable. What do you think?
I would say the next four games are winnable. Yeah. UTSA was good last year. What are they doing this year, guys, Bubba?
I think they've been off to a bit of a mediocre start. So we'll run through the conference standings here. Hadn't had a chance to see what they did this
weekend. Okay. But, I definitely think we could go 4-0. But at the same time, Elon, that park gives up a lot of home runs. So who knows what will happen. And it's a long trip to San Antonio. So, yeah, we could win the next four. But, quite frankly, if we go 3-1 this week, I'll be happy.
Yeah, baseball is a tricky thing. You have that. By the way, Shell's putting you out there. Semenza, are you coming to hang with me and Jeff Carr Pigskin Weekend?
Shell, I'm working on it. The issue for me is my daughter, who's a senior, has college visits everywhere. So I'm trying to figure out how I can get there and about 12 other places, too.
I got an idea.
Make I'm hoping to, though. I really. That's a perfect weekend, though, because you get the spring football game and
baseball.
It's perfect. So, Shell, I'll definitely
just bring her down for her college visit, her official college visit. Make it that weekend for Greenville for ECU.
Yeah,
I would love to. Just take her one. She only needs to go to one place, ECU, and make it simple. Hey, man,
is ECU on her list, Matt?
It's on the list, but she just got accepted into UConn. UConn is a top 25 public school in America now, really hard. So I'm pushing her to go there because I want to keep her at home. We'll see.
But if she comes to Greenville,
It's definitely on the list.
You can have a house down here in Greenville, right across from the stadium.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Hell yeah. That would be great.
Also, the weather sucks there. Doesn't she want to get to some good weather?
The weather is terrible here, man. Absolutely. I mean, you can't even compare it. You really can't even compare it. So, I don't know. We'll see, man. To be continued. She's got some good options, though.
No doubt
about it. What about Central Connecticut State?
Oh, God. Do you guys realize that, not to get off topic here,
we played them with, under Lebo. Remember that?
Yeah, I did.
And we lost.
That's right. We did lose to them. Yeah.
Tony, like, let ECU fans know how lucky they are to have Pirate baseball in a great environment. Like, teams up here in Northeast, like Boston College, UConn, they don't play a home game. They don't play a home game until like mid-March, until like next week. They don't, all their games they have to travel for. So I don't know if ECU fans know how good they have it down there. And Justin, what do we got? Yeah, man, I hear you. But hey,
free ride. You know,
it could be worse, though. It could be worse, right? You got the national championship team.
I don't know. We hate UConn.
Baseball questions, you should have it. I'll let you guys answer that one.
I think, Shell, you were onto something. I think that, obviously, we talked about it.
I didn't see the question. Let's read the question for the listeners that aren't watching.
Baseball question. He says, is Trey Savage a first-round pick?
Yeah.
Based on right now, I think so, yeah. If he gets
I'm not a draft expert. I would defer I don't know that any of us are draft experts. I would say Bubba probably of the four of us, but I think he's a first or second round pick just on my limited knowledge of MLB draft, yeah.
Absolutely. He has that potential, you know, you have D1 baseball, Aaron Fitt, they put out their draft projections, you know, in the top draft eligible pitchers in the country. And entering the season, Aaron Fitt said he was number three on their list behind the guy from Arkansas and then one other. And that Yasavage, you know, depending on the matchup, he wouldn't hesitate to say that he's right there, that he may even go with Trey over the other two, you know, depending on the situation. So he definitely has the makings of a first rounder like Gavin Williams.
Former Pirate pitcher for the for EC. So we just have to wait and see how that plays out. But it all, I mean, it's a lot of politics involved for what I do know from the outside looking in. And like Bubba said, like, what are the team's needs are? But you got a talent like that. Like Yasavage, why wouldn't you take him? I'm if it doesn't matter if it's football or baseball, yeah, I'm taking talent, right, Matt? I mean, it's a first round guy. You got to take talent. Even if you don't need a pitcher, you need to take that guy because you don't know what's going to happen to other pitchers on your team. And also, he's your future, man. You know, why wouldn't you go for a guy like him? So, I'm not in.
I certainly would. He's dominant right now. Absolutely dominant. I mean, yeah. Nobody's been able to touch him. So. Definitely looks to me like a first-round pick.
No question about it. That's what makes the rest of, you know, people are talking about pitching. I think a lot of, you know, you look at, we'll talk about our pgxgloves.com pitcher of the week and player of the week, and I think we know who the pitcher is. But our pitching, the 1-2 punch of Yasavage and Root make, you know, we have good pitchers, but, man, they are top of the charts good. And in fact, there's a lot of people talking about Wake Forest. They just don't have the – we're talking about bullpen. They don't have they may have a dudes, but they after that, they don't have the dominant pitching like they had in the past year or two.
Yeah, you figured at some point Wake Forest will take a little bit of a step back. There's a lot of good baseball in this area. A lot of baseball left to be played. But, you know, our Friday, Saturday guys are as good as anybody's.
No question. You want to take a Bubba? You want to go back to Tuesday night on the road in Wilmington?
Yeah, we started talking about that game some while you were, you know, figuring out your tech issues, but right. But yeah, to continue to talk about that 8-7, 10 inning victory over the Seahawks. Pirates were led by J-Dub, Justin Wilcoxon, had an excellent game. I believe it was 4 hits, including a clutch double. There, I believe it was the hit that allowed us to take the lead fairly late in that game. And there was an unbelievable crowd there. And I didn't think I was going to be watching the game because it was on Flow Sports, but Flow Sports came through and it was the game of the week on their YouTube account for free. So you could go to the YouTube channel, and I was excited to get that midday, and from Johnny Gardner when he shared it with me. So watching that, and then you know, also had an eye on what was going on with the women's basketball game playing in the conference tournament. But that game, you had, like I said, J-Dub coming through, four-hit game, the clutch hit there late, you know, when it turned into a back-and-forth game and really kind of got pretty ugly as far as some of the wild pitches and errors and maybe plays that weren't necessarily even, you know, going down as errors, but defensive miscues. Things that Coach Godwin alluded to post game, but he said, "Hey, I'm not going to complain about a victory."
No, and we don't play very well there in Wilmington. So hey, you get that when you escape and you come home, survive in advance, and then you come home to three great games with Columbia.
Yeah, but in addition to J-Dub, you had JJC Star. They had two-hit games. Ryan McChrystal had a two-hit game. So you had at least four, maybe five Pirates with multi-hit days against UNC Wilmington. And then where I was going when I was talking about that Flow Sports broadcast of the game on YouTube, that was the broadcast team was pretty entertaining, and they gave credit to the Pirate fans that were there at Brooks Field. You know, as our fans often do, when there's a three ball count and the other team's pitcher is struggling with his command, you know, they'll come to their feet and just make a ton of noise. And they did that on Tuesday night. And they said, these East Carolina fans are loud. And so I just thought that was funny. And I was glad that they couldn't hide it, but because of they didn't have the crowd mic the way Charlotte did last year in downtown Charlotte to try to disguise it.
No doubt. And, you know, people, Matt, I know that your dad and stepmom were there at the game, and they've been pulling really hard for East Carolina with the baseball team. So that's very cool. In fact, you need to go ahead and tell them to get ready for regionals in Greenville, baby. They're going to be coming north again.
Oh, they already committed to that for sure. But
first weekend in June.
Yeah, they really, I don't know what the term is, caught the fever, I guess, for ECU baseball. They're really enjoying it. And, you know, they saw the Parker Bird story, and they really started following Parker Bird, you know, praying for his success and everything. And it kind of got them more involved in the program. So they had a great time.
By the way, for those that didn't know, Parker is actually – going to be on the college summer league team. Newbern has a new team, the Newbern Southpaws, and he's going to be on that team. So if you're a Pirate fan and you're in northeastern North Carolina, or maybe you're like Matt's family down in southeastern North Carolina, there in the Wilmington area, the Newbern Drive is not bad. Beautiful town too, on Highway 17. Love it. And a lot to do there. A lot of great restaurants and Tryon Palace, and of course the Pepsi Museum. I know.
Yeah, I would highly recommend MJ's if you like Obey, you know, Maryland, Chesapeake Bay style seafood. MJ's downtown Newbern is excellent.
I'll have to check it out. Love going to restaurants. I'm a foodie. But anyway, let's get back to that. Was great though, Matt. Appreciate your dad and stepmom for. It's always great to get more Pirates. Hey, and I was thinking about this too, guys, for the game, for what's really cool is how great is it. John Bream, our good friend, Dr. Bream, said it should have been a yard gnome. Well, we have that for Greenville. So that's our team name, but that's a whole nother show, as they say, but as far as the Pirates,
it's just horrible.
Yeah. I'll keep my mouth shut. I can't stand I can't stand that name. It just drives me crazy.
What is the name, guys? What is the name?
Greenville has a team at Guy Smith Stadium. Back in the day, the reason we have Guy Smith Stadium in the 50s and 60s, we had a minor league team in Greenville called the Greenville Greenies. That's bad enough, right? The Greenies, it's just so generic. Well, hell, the Yard Gnomes is I'll take Greenies every day over the Yard Gnomes.
Yeah, that's
Gnomes are very weird looking to me. I don't know.
You know what we have here in Hartford? We have a team called the Yard Goats.
Hey,
and of all the teams, this team was established like 5 years ago. But of all the names you can come up with, the Yard, I thought that was terrible. So yeah, not good.
Yard Goats. Are there goats in Connecticut?
Why not just play into what's already here and call them like the Greenville Bucks or the Greenville?
One of the popular names on social media was Peg Legs.
Peg Legs, yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that'll work. Who cares? But anyway, back to Pirate Baseball. You know what we do care about as we take on Columbia this weekend. And can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm paranoid with my connection. So we take on Columbia this weekend, and
first game was just
from the Ivy League, and I really thought, even though today's game was a little bit competitive, I really thought there it was basically going through the motions all weekend. I mean, we would have had to have just came out and committed a ton of errors, I think, to lose to this team.
Yeah, I agree. 17-3, Bubba, that first game, and wow, we really jumped on them. And the great thing about this team, I'll say really quick. The fight in this team and the fact that they pounced on this team. They're beating the teams that they should, like Columbia, and we're dominating and not struggling. I know today's game, but Sunday's games are tricky like that. But we dominated, 30-some runs to 7? 33-7, I think, for runs. Something like that off the top of my head.
Yeah, we won the game 17-3, 8-0, and then 8-6. So
yeah. So it's 33 runs.
That's to 9 split. Runs. 9.
But Trey Savage, another excellent effort, as you would expect, and struck out 10, allowed just one hit. Or maybe it's two hits, and allowed one run, and that came on a solo oppo bomb. Just left a pitch a little up, and the guy was able to hit it out right field. It was really a no doubter. But if I'm recalling correctly, I believe the wind was blowing out, and just one of those. As soon as it came off the bat, you knew it was gone. But after that first inning, Trey settled in, and I don't believe he surrendered a hit the rest of the way. And then obviously 17 runs speaks for itself. You got the runs for the most part in 3 innings. You had a 4-run inning, and then they are late. I believe it was the bottom of the 8th, either the bottom of the 7th or 8th. We put up an 8 spot to really, you know, put it out of reach. But, obviously in a game like that, you had a lot of guys seeing playing time. You had Parker Bird get another at bat, and they come very close to an opposite field. Hit down the right field line. But, unfortunately, like I mentioned, it was windy. That wind pushed it foul. And But Parker had an excellent ovation and really had a quality at bat, even though he ended up striking out. You know, he fouled off probably 3 or 4 pitches on solid contact, one of which was the one I referenced. And then I believe it was either a 2-2 or 3-2 pitch on which he struck out. But there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to get a hit or a few hits before the season's over.
No question. That guy's got fight. He's got guts. He's got grit. And if you don't take him for granted, that guy is really good as a batter and competitor. He's been fighting really hard to be where he is a huge story. And the fact that he has come on, he got the walk, and now he had another opportunity. Like you said, he had a great at bat, and he's going to have many. I think he'll have more.
He didn't want the walk, you could tell. I would like to know which Houston shit. If Godwin was coaching him up to swing away and try to get a hit, or if he would have rathered him take the walk, but you could tell he was trying to get a hit. And there was one of them, man. He made contact, and you thought it was gonna, for a moment, you thought it was gonna be gone, and then you thought it was gonna be a nice long single or double, depending on how he could run the bases. And unfortunately, it went foul.
Well, that won't be his last at bat, and he'll get more chances. The fact that he's doing well, so really proud of him, and what a great story! Not only for baseball.
I want us to put him in a situation where it matters, and just see the crowd just lose their mind and see how he would perform in that situation. It would be so electric in there. It would almost be, you know, you would seem like he would almost guarantee it. It seems like he's either strike out or get a hit, one of the two.
Well, you know what would be great is if at the regional in Greenville this year, I'm putting it out there, it's going to happen. And imagine if we have if we host a regional in Greenville this year, and Parker Bird comes up like the pinch hit, and whether it's a big situation or not, can you imagine in a regional light atmosphere if that guy gets a hit? It'd be incredible.
Just any kind of meaningful situation, any hit in any game, but any meaningful situation, it would be even bigger. But we'll move on to Saturday's game.
Yeah, what a performance, guys, by Root.
Yeah, Zach Root went six innings, 87 pitches. Probably could have gone longer, but no reason to tax him here with conference play about to start up. And I don't believe this was asked in the post game, but I do know either in the first or second inning, Coach Godwin came out, and Scott Rogers and Coach O on the broadcast were talking about, you know, what may be going on. But obviously, Coach Godwin was satisfied with what he saw and in that situation, because he went another four or five innings after that. And not only did he go four or five innings, he surrendered just one hit and six shutout innings of work, struck out seven or eight, walked just one, and another fine performance by Zach Root, who improved to 3-0. And as a result of that is our PGXGloves.com Pitcher of the Week. So congratulations to Zach on being this week's PGXGloves.com Pitcher of the Week.
No question about it, man. What a performance, guys. Like I said earlier in the show, that guy is special, and so is our Friday night guy. And, man, what a 1-2 punch. I'll tell you one thing. Those guys stay healthy. We're going to have a great June. That's all I'm saying right now. I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but, man, those guys have been so much fun to watch. And, hey, let's see what happens the rest of the season. But so far, so good, right?
Yeah, pitching Friday and Saturday, especially those two starters are excellent. With you, Savage and Root, I mean, you can't ask for any better than what they've done so far. And if this kind of performances continue, you set yourself up nicely to win most of your series, if not all your series in conference. And if we can do a little better in the midweek, we would stand a good chance to host.
Guys, I wanted to ask you real quick, as far as being number 11 this week, and I know we have friends that say, don't pay attention to the rankings, but as far as East Carolina sweeping, is that going to put maybe we're cracking the top 10, maybe 8th or 9th? I don't know how.
Obviously, it depends on obviously not the hardest strength of schedule for us this week. And, yeah, you had a nice midweek win over a quality club, a team that's typically in the top 50 or so in the RPI, but or right outside. But Columbia, although they're off to a rough start, they've had an extremely challenging schedule. Three games at Florida. Last week they were playing UC Irvine and Fresno State. So hopefully they'll live up to their preseason expectations. They were picked second in that league. So maybe they'll win it as they often do. And, you know, we've squared off with them a couple times in regional play. And down in Conway, I remember T.J. Hose and shutting them down, and then they beat us down in Coral Gables back in Cliff's first year in 2015 to eliminate us. But the rankings, number one, not that worried about it, but not – familiar with, had not had a chance to look at the weekend's results to see if those teams ahead of us may have dropped some games where where we can move forward in the rankings. But I know you had Wake Forest. They had dropped to 7th or so, and then you had UVA was 9th or 10th. I know UVA won at least one of those games, but not sure what happened. I'm not sure if it was Wake winning 2 out of 3 or UVA winning the series.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, obviously, the SEC and ACC teams that have been so good for so long, and a lot of them that are above us, how do they do? So we shall see, and we'll definitely be talking about that throughout the show. But, Bubba, with the Saturday's game with Root, I mean, you know, with getting a shutout, how special is that?
I know the pitchers love it, but and what I mean by that is because unless it's changed, when they deliver a shutout like that, they get to take BP, and you know the pitchers love to get out there and you know attempt to hit some bombs in batting practice. So, and that is a nice aspect of it, but obviously otherwise, you know. That's something that's not easy to do, and you know we've done it at least I think a few times already.
At least twice, right? Off the top of my head.
Yeah,
maybe 3 times, but it's at least twice.
And another point I was going to make: we're 14-4 overall, but 13-2 on the weekend. So we've swept Ryder, we swept Liberty, now we swept Columbia. You took 2 out of 3 from a top 15 team like North Carolina, and you took 2 out of 3 on the LeClaire weekend with your only loss, you know, being that 11-9 decision to Southeastern Louisiana, who we know is a quality club, and you know, nearly beat number 2 LSU right after that.
And Bubba, I checked. This is our 3rd shutout as we beat Ryder 7-0 both on Saturday and Sunday to begin the season. And then yesterday's game being Saturday, if you're just joining us or listening to us archived or on the podcast, traditional podcast. We won Saturday 8-0. So our 3rd shutout of the season. And like you said, Bubba, really strong. Does anybody know our RPI?
No,
out of curiosity.
I normally don't look at RPI until at least April because it's kind of quirky early in the season. But John White, I appreciate that, John. He said Wake did indeed lose 2 out of 3 at Virginia. So they had dropped a series to Duke, and now they dropped a series to UVA. Florida State's getting ready to vault into the top 25. Link Jarrett has them at 18-0. That's hard to believe. Is that not crazy, guys, to think that Florida State's 18-0 and they're not in the rankings? Who would have thought that? But they took all 3 as they swept the Fighting Irish, Link Jarrett's former program, Notre Dame.
That is crazy. And 18-0, man, what a great job Jarrett's doing. But it is his alma mater, and they have a deep tradition there, a baseball tradition in Florida State with Mike Martin. So it doesn't surprise me as far as resources. But as far as 18-0, that's just that's crazy nuts. But
RPI took a hit this week with playing Columbia. Even with the sweep, we are down to 26 right now with RPI. Which, you know, it'll come up with some of the midweek games we have.
Oh yeah,
and conference play. But right now, 26 RPI.
Thank you, Kyle.
And the formula changed this year, so that's something to keep an eye on as well.
The formula by the selection committee, how much they value RPI? Is that what you mean?
No, just the formula for calculating RPI.
How do they do that?
Okay.
I'll look up the article.
Is Nolan using a new formula, or is it going to be – because normally Warren Nolan and the official NCAA RPIs are pretty much
– they're normally, you know, no more than one or two places off, but they'll pretty much match up with the official NCAA RPI.
Which they don't even release that yet, so that's why you got to go by Warren Nolan at this point in the season.
But I'll look to see that formula is something that I had screenshot and, you know, and intended on bringing up on our preseason show, but didn't get around to it. But we'll talk about that. And it seems like I heard Coach Godwin reference it in one of his other preseason chats, and it seems like he and other coaches were in favor of it and liked the way it would benefit the Pirates.
By the way, Shell brought up a great point, how Dixon Williams at third base is really coming along, the sophomore from local D.H. Conley. Great to see him doing well.
Yeah, Dixon had his second home run over the weekend. And he had at least one multi-hit game. And it's great to see some start to fall and obviously leave the yard because he's had some tough luck. I know the game that I attended, the Friday game up at Liberty, his first at bat, he hit a rocket to the right fielder who didn't have to move. And he's had quite a bit of unfortunate luck like that early in the season. But you keep having the quality ABs, then the hits will come.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about AMAC not coming back this year, and but you see that Dixon Williams being a sophomore, so we have this year and next year for sure, and doing great. We need guys like him. And Matt, I tell you one thing, J-Dub is another one that's coming on strong. Bubba, what a great week he had. And today, I know he, off the top of my head, I know today he was 3 of 4, but he was really good. And we've got to have his bat and his defense to make it. We've got the good news is we got 3 quality catchers. That's the most depth we've had in a while behind the plate.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see contributions from more people. And it's a more well-rounded lineup than it was a few weeks ago. And I was really encouraged by Will Coxon going yard today because his power bat, last year he had a ton of home runs. His power bat in the lineup is going to make a huge difference. And then, the other guy is, you see Bristol Carter. I mean, his average is now up to what, 325, I want to say.
He's an incredible player, man.
So, true freshman. So the more contribution, listen, what you're going to get from Carter Cunningham. You know what you're going to get from JJC. Starling obviously gives you offensive production, did it again today. So you know what you're going to get from those guys. But when you can get contributions top to bottom, now you have a team that's really trending in the right direction.
No doubt about it. It's got a hitting streak, Bubba, going along there for Carter Cunningham. And that's really awesome to see. And I know this is the longest streak since, is it Connor Norby? I think off the top of my head.
That's probably right. I'm not sure. I knew that Carter had a hit in every game this season. Those streaks typically.
He has an 18-game hitting streak. It's the longest since Connor Norby, I was right, put together a 20-game during the 21 campaign. So, yeah, I didn't know how many that Connor had back in 21, but I remember it was just a few years ago. But a 20-game hitting streak. So he has a hit in 18 games. So you're right, Bubba, all 18 games he has at least one hit, and really proud of him. He could have been gone. We could have not had him last year and this year.
Yep, most of those games, obviously multi-hit games as well. And you have him batting well over 400. You may have that exact number in front of you, Dave. But and I know JC, Jacob Jenkins Cowart, was just shy of 400. Had another solid week. I think 3 multi-hit games for JJC, beginning with a 2-hit performance on 2 for 6 against the Seahawks on Tuesday night. And then I know he had a 3-hit game, one of the games this weekend.
Yeah, he's been on fire, and we'll see how Carter Cunningham. But he's got Matt. You were talking about J-Dub, Carter Cunningham, and he was the one that I was like, I hope that we can have another huge season. And he's been red hot, and hopefully we can keep him that way and not have. I know baseball is a marathon, not a sprint, as far as. You're going to have highs and lows and slumps, but I just pray to God that if there is a slump, it will be not much.
Yeah, J-Dub had a heck of a week.
JJC had a 7-hit week, and so did Justin Wilcox, and didn't have any hits in the first two games against Columbia, but had a 4-hit day against the Seahawks, including that the big double down the right field line that I referenced. It was just fair by inches, and then you had a 3-hit game today, including you had a home run by J Dub, and I believe that was today's game. But he has three home runs now in the season. Does Justin Wilcoxon, and that batting average has climbed up to just shy of 300, I think 287 or so to be exact.
Yeah, Wilcoxon got some power to his bat, hitting the ball well.
And because of that 7 out of 16 week, a home run, a double, and not only a double, but that it was a very critical hit, clutch situation down against the Seahawks, and then drove in at least five, maybe more runs. Also reached base a time or two via free passes. So heck of a week for J-Dub. And because of that, he is our PGXGloves.com Player of the Week.
There you go. Justin Wilcoxon with the PGX Clubs Player of the Week. And what does he get for that, Bubba? Does PGX Clubs send him a special customized gloves in the mail?
We need to work that out. That's something that I'm sure in this NIL era it can be done, but do that in an appropriate way. But I honestly, you know, with our deals that we have, I honestly don't know, but you know, it'd be nice if something like that could be done, you know, between pgxgloves.com, former player Mark Minakazi, and Pirate Baseball.
Yep.
No doubt. Hey, by the way, guys, JR, Johnny Robertson said, besides his hitting streak, going back to Carter Cunningham, Carter has also scored a run or had an RBI in every game except for Cal State Fullerton. How about that?
That's impressive. Must have took the day off in that Fullerton game. But that's very impressive. That's consistency, to put it simply.
Yeah, well, he had a hit in every game. So he did get a hit in the Fullerton game. He just didn't get an RBI.
No.
So
slacker.
What else can he do? But we've got to keep him going, keep him red hot. And guys, what want to get your thoughts? One of the topics you hear every week by Pirate fans, get your thoughts on the bullpen.
They were fine this weekend. Really weren't needed very much. Not a really good week to test the bullpen.
I know. It's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you had some quality bullpen performances. You know, Wyatt Lunsford Schenkman pitched well. You had a rough outing today for Jaden Winter, and you know, allowed three runs, a three-run bomb there in the top of the eighth. Groller pitched pretty well against UNC Wilmington, pitched pretty well in an outing against Columbia in the first two games, and then today he gave up a two-run jack there in the top of the ninth. You had some other solid outings out of the pen as well. So it's kind of a mixed bag, not as well as they performed probably the previous week, but some bright spots.
Danny Beal got the win today, right?
Yeah, you had some solid outing by DB, which was nice to see.
Yeah, Beal was, you know, there were some hits against him, had some runners on base, oftentimes like men on first and second, runners in scoring position. But he was able to battle through it and get out of those innings, you know, without giving up runs. So I think this team's
surrendered three hits to Matt's point, but was able to navigate that and two shutout innings, I believe, or two and a fraction or something.
Yeah, he 45 is the real deal. And he's a great guy. I just love his competitiveness. I think you guys, if you're around him, you would see how competitive that guy is. And he's the kind of guy, Matt, that he gets the ball and he don't like coming out. I mean, he's ready to go batter after batter after batter. You love those guys that are real competitors.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, you know, you just feel like this team is going to go as that bullpen goes. If we can get great production from the bullpen, this is going to be a great year.
Hey, Matt, by the way, St. Patrick's Day, you got any specialty drink for us? Happy St. Patty's Day to everybody. I know we're the latter part of it, but you've got
I don't have a special drink, but I did have the movie Leprechaun on the TV earlier. That's one of my St. Kyle's probably familiar with that movie.
Yeah, it's a horror movie. Yeah, I know it. It's
a horror movie. Yeah, Leprechaun. There's several of those movies.
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Leprechaun in the Hood. Leprechaun in Space. They're utter garbage, they're fun. They're fun little movies.
I saw the first one. I don't think I've seen past the first Leprechaun.
You know who made her acting debut in the first Leprechaun? A little trivia for you guys.
Who did?
Oh, man.
Jennifer Aniston.
Who was that you said, Matt?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Jennifer Aniston.
So, before the most overrated female in the history. The most overrated female in the history of the world, but okay.
I love Jennifer Aniston.
Really?
I love her. Well, so yeah.
Overrated?
How could she be overrated?
Yeah. Well, let's see. She's friggin' overrated. I could think of about 1,000 other girls I'd take over Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get what's special about it. Please, somebody explain it to me.
I mean, she was on the show Friends for 1 million years. That put a lot of popularity. Maybe that's why you think she's overrated. But I think her look,
I just don't think she's that attractive.
Well,
Sandra Bullock or Jennifer Aniston?
Very average. I mean, above average, but I mean, I love
Sandra Bullock. Now she's ECU and she's spicy. I think Sandra Bullock is.
Oh, no doubt about it.
We're going to talk celebrities. I'm going to go Danielle Harris. If you don't know who Danielle Harris is, Google it. She's worth a Google.
How about you, Bubba? All right, this is where he drops out. We need to.
No, you guys carry on. I'm doing. I'm multitasking at the moment. So y'all.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you guys a question. For Friends,
Liv Morgan or Kirk would be another one that I'm really big on. If you don't know
Courtney Cox, WWE, Liv Morgan. Are you going Courtney Cox or Jennifer Aniston?
Oh, definitely Jennifer Aniston. It's not even a question.
Phoebe.
Lisa Kudrow? Okay.
Yeah.
Because she plays like the dumb one, but she's actually very smart. It's just funny how they always do that.
I'll pass on Lisa Kudrow.
Good, Matt. We won't ever have to fight over girls.
In other words, Matt's gonna take, if you take him to the prom, it's prom, getting ready to be prom season. Matt's got Jennifer Aniston, I've got Courtney Cox, and you've got Lisa Kudrow.
I don't want any of them. Y'all can have all these mid-90s Friends chicks. What the hell? Must be the slight age difference. You guys are a little bit older than me, not by much, but. No, thank you. I don't want any of them. Ugh.
We were in college when that show was on. So, I mean, you know.
There's so many other girls that are way more appealing than those three bimbos from Friends.
So you don't like that show?
The show sucks. Most overrated. It's the equivalent of Jennifer Aniston. It's overrated.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay.
It's definitely no Three's Company. That's for sure.
Oh, I love Three. That's
the wild time.
Best show ever made.
No Suzanne Summers.
I absolutely love Three's Company. That is, they have that on. I have to not watch. You know, Pluto TV. We'll get back to baseball, folks. I'm gonna promise in a second. But you know, Pluto TV, they have like all those channels where you can watch a show continuously. Man, it'll be like three or four episodes in. I'm like,
Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper? Who do you like better?
Roper.
It's Don Knotts.
Really?
Right?
See, I gotta go Furley. Don Knotts.
Legend. Don Knotts is great. There's nothing wrong with Don Knotts. What happened is
facial expressions are just fantastic.
I love Don Knotts. I don't have a problem. You just asked me which were the two. What happened, though, which sucks, is not to get deep into Three's Company. the Ropers had a spinoff for like, it lasted like, I don't, a handful of episodes, not even, I don't even think it lasted a season. They promised the Ropers to come back, and then they didn't let them come back. And they bring in Furley. I have nothing against Furley. It's just like, dude, you did those folks wrong. In fact, there's this weird thing now. Have you guys noticed? There's this weird thing now where they have people dressing as Miss Roper, and they have like this Miss Roper parties where everybody shows up as Miss Roper, like dressed like Miss Roper. It's like on like these college bars or different bars around the country. It's kind of, I doubt they've had it at some
I can't, you can't even make those jokes anymore. I was about to make a joke. Can't make it in 2024. Okay. But yeah, no, I haven't seen any Miss Roper parties.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Three's Company is definitely, that would be very high on my list. Suzanne Summers, God rest her soul, had a huge crush on her when that show came out. I even thought Terry was very attractive too.
Terry was fantastic.
Yeah,
Barnes.
Chrissy,
and then Jenilee Harrison.
Chrissy or Janet?
Chrissy all the way.
Chrissy, come on.
All the way.
What? Oh,
good Lord. Suzanne Summers? Yeah.
No.
You're going,
you like the short, you like the short hair, do you there, Matt?
Absolutely, man. You know, it's just, you know, you got to go with the brunette in that situation.
All right. So we're talking classic TV. This is not the classic TV objective. It's a sports objective. So we'll talk baseball.
You know, I love mid 90s Drew Barrymore. Give me like Drew Barrymore 1995.
I love you, John White. He's one of my favorites and a great pitcher. He said, yeah, please don't go down the Gilligan Island girl topic. Don't worry. We won't do that. We'll let you guys do that off air.
I'll take Ginger, John. I'll take Ginger.
All the way Ginger. I'm a Ginger guy for sure. In fact, she just turned 90 years old. Did you know that? Tina Louise, one of my favorite. I love Gilligan's Island, so sorry, John. Anyway, I'm a huge Happy Days fan too, if you're gonna throw another. I love that show on ABC.
We'll bring it back to baseball with kind of a baseball reference here of sorts. Summer Catch, movie. Oh, yeah. Talking about the Cape Cod League, Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jessica Biel. So I'll throw Jessica Biel out.
In fact, that was shot down in Southport. That great movie. I saw it. It was
a good movie. That's a solid movie.
Yeah, it was better than, it was one of those movies I rented on DVD, and I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't think it was actually better than what I expected. I remember when it came out.
Oh, two of me.
Hey, there's the. Wow. Did you referee today?
Double trouble.
There's the guy that refereed third base today. He came up as.
I still haven't seen that picture, so I don't know what to think.
Justin, what do you think? Do we have the third base umpire there on the screen? You said he looked just like Kyle, so
I want to see the damn picture. I want to see the picture. I will judge if he looks like me or not.
Does anyone have the picture? Do we have?
Yeah, Bubba does. For some reason, he hasn't shared it.
It probably looks so much like you that he's like, it's kind of scary.
Because I'm doing more important things, but I'll.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. I mean, my reaction will be epic.
Put it up on the screen when you can. Oh man.
I
mean,
I gotta see this picture now. It's I gotta see it. So when Bubba gets a chance, let's throw it up there.
Yeah, by the way, talking about the spring game, and you know, we've got the baseball game there on the 13th. A lot of people going to it. We've got Matt Semenza. We'll see if we can get Kyle there. So that's going to be against, oh my, and that's right. It's against your favorite team, Matt.
Hopefully we can beat Charlotte. That's in something. Like Kyle. Hopefully we can beat Charlotte. In
which one is supposed to look like me?
None of them look anything like Kyle. And I,
what
and
in
I,
the blue hell is he talking about? Where am I at? Which one looks like me?
This is kind of
the
like
one the, looking at the camera.
None of them do. The guy with the great belt there?
Which one? First of all, they're all in better shape than me.
I'm not. I don't get that. Do you, Matt, are you
Which one is supposed to be me?
I don't. From this picture, I cannot see anybody that looks like Kyle, but.
I guess
sometimes pictures can be deceiving. Sometimes you see somebody in person that's a little different. I can't see anything from this picture.
Is it the guy with his back to the camera?
That's his best side, yeah.
Maybe that's why Bubba didn't waste his time with the damn picture.
Yeah, I think he...
I'm sorry. I think you guys were... Justin, were you smoking crack today? I mean, I don't...
Yeah, he's over... He's in right. Hey, Matt. He's in the. He's in the right field in the crack garden. What? Oh my God! Bring your pipes. We have a big event coming up in a couple weeks. Bring your pipes to the ballpark.
Which one? Somebody tell me which one's supposed to be me. I'm really confused here. Justin, comment, please.
I've been waiting all show. This is the most bad in our show.
It's a huge letdown.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to be somewhat close to.
So is Bubba going to leave this up the rest of the show?
I guess so. I mean, literally, I'm going, hey, guys, I'm going, if it's somewhere close to Kyle, then I could bust. I can't even bust on Kyle because it doesn't even look like Kyle. So I can't even make a joke.
I don't know which one's supposed to be me. Which one is supposed to be me?
I don't know.
Kyle, does anybody ever tell you that you – there's somebody that you look like.
When I was skinny. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
He said it's a joke. Oh, okay.
It's only a joke if it's funny. I don't get it. I don't get which one was supposed to look like me. So the joke doesn't work. If one of them looked like me, then I would get the joke. Which one was supposed to look like me? I don't get it. I don't.
He says, chill.
I don't get it. I'm chilled. It just doesn't make any sense.
And Samantha says, ha, 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 ha. I don't know.
You might as well put a picture of we lost Dave again. I mean, you might as well put a picture of a black dude up there and said, hey, that looks like Kyle.
Your picture on the screen is a little, you know, I think somebody said a little big boss man resemblance there.
Yeah,
anyway.
Right? What do you think of that? How about that one?
Big boss man. I could go for that.
In this picture, yes. I definitely see big boss man. Yeah, Ray Traylor. No doubt. Matt, I think it's just me and you at this point. It's a two-man show.
I can hear Dave. You can't hear Dave? I can hear
I'm
Dave.
Here.
I get a spinning icon for Dave right now.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm good.
Y'all have that.
I'm here. I've been here.
Y'all have that AOL 56K dial-up internet down there in North Carolina.
Oh, my God. HughesNet. HughesNet, right?
My Verizon service is the equivalent of web TV right now.
Oh, my God. I hadn't thought about that in years. Oh my goodness! And by the way, I brought up we were talking about different formats over the weekend. How about LaserDisc? Do you remember how great that was? I'm being sarcastic when I say that. You remember LaserDisc? Am I that old that you guys don't remember LaserDisc? It was like a VHS.
I don't know, but apparently we need to get back to baseball. We need to get back to baseball, guys.
All right. What's your feeling about Elon? We're done with, obviously, this weekend, and great weekend for the Pirates. Moving on to Elon, we talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the program, but obviously people joining us. We've got a big in-state game on the road, midweek game, something that we're going to have to – we obviously have them back on April 9th on the Tuesday, but here we have them. And just a couple, not even 48 hours away, and we're going to be playing there at Latham Park.
Elon, always a lot of home runs hit at that park, so it's going to be a high-scoring game, essentially. Our bullpen seems to get you on balls. is what will happen, but potential for a high-scoring game when the Pirates travel to Elon.
Hey, Matt, I think Kyle and Bubba traded internet. Bubba's gone.
Yeah, we're having a lot of technical difficulties tonight. But, you know, I think, listen, huge, another in-state opponent. We got to win these Tuesday night games. We really do. And, you know, good sign last week to pull that win out in Wilmington. I expect this one to be a dogfight too. And but really, at the end of the day, just get the win and move on. And but, you know, I really like the direction this team is trending right now. Like I said earlier, you're starting to get contributions from top to bottom in the lineup, you know, and play complementary baseball. You know, like just some of the things I saw today with laying down bunts and, you know, perfectly executed bunts, moving runners. You know, I think that this team is definitely starting to come together and trend in the right direction. So get the win on Tuesday and let's go.
Hey, by the way, look at this. Look at this stat. JR, useless stat. He says the Pirates have shut out 17 of their 18th opponents in the fifth inning. Thank you, JR. You're Johnny Stats, as he's known. Appreciate you, bro, very much. And Kyle, welcome back.
Yeah, this sucks. I better get my internet fixed tomorrow. It's miserable. You know, yeah, it's an interesting stat. It tells me that our starting pitching gets a little stronger there towards their pitch count limit before we go into the bullpen. Thing. So, it is. It's interesting. It's a very interesting stat.
The other way around. Yep. That they would get weaker would be conventional wisdom, but
I guess they peak. Probably they're peaking about the fifth end, and then they go down from there. Would be my guess, but nonetheless, it's a very interesting stat.
And Matt, we were talking about bullpen, but if you can have your first two or three guys, the weekend guys, if you can have them go 5-6 innings, man, that would be incredible. For that helps us out many ways, but one of the ways is certainly in. When the conference tournament and then June for the regional, super regional, we'll have guys that have arms, you know, a lot of arm strength, and certainly they'll be stronger at that point, but probably in better shape than a lot of other pitchers around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep those arms fresh, peak at the right time. And, you know, like early in the season, you'll see, you know, Cliff will be using a lot of guys in the bullpen, you know, switching pitchers, you know, constantly throughout the game. And, you know, sometimes you don't really understand why that's happening, but at the end of the day, you know, you're getting a lot of guys work, you're keeping arms fresh, and it gives you a chance to go deep into the season, you know, with everybody healthy. So, like you said, you know, maintaining healthy arms, especially from our, you know, our top three starters, is going to be a big factor moving forward.
No doubt. And you think about another thing too. Something Matt talks about, so I'll bring it up. I wonder also, not only the analytics, you hear that word is so overused, but analytics plays a part, but also, guys, what about with the transfer portal being so nuts, how much of it is that, you know, that, hey, I need playing time, you know, even if you're a freshman. I know it's situational with Cliff with baseball, and we know he knows more and will forget more about baseball than I'll ever know. But that also is something that's in the back of my mind for sure.
Getting guys playing time?
Yeah, in other words, pitching wise, getting guys in an inning at a time or two innings.
You want to pitch the guys who are giving us an opportunity to win. If you're not going to give us an opportunity to win, then you can transfer out of here. We don't care. But if you're going to give us an opportunity to win, you're going to get playing time.
Yeah, I'm not talking about, you know, where everybody has to pitch, like, you know, like a recreational ball, or where, you know, you have to be fair with rotation. I'm just talking about the fact that you've got a lot of young guys coming up. The Norbys, a lot of those guys are young and they need work. But at the same time, like you said, we got to win. So, and another thing, guys, I was thinking about before we start to wrap this things up, I don't know if Bubba's coming back, but to also say that we're sitting pretty right now because we're the number 11 country. And what are we looking for? We're looking looking right now, we're on the bubble right now. See how it goes, but I think we're sitting pretty as far as it's ours to lose, meaning hosting a regional. So we'll see how it plays out. But as I said earlier in the show, so far so good with this team, and I'm just really excited about. I don't know about you guys, but I know they have to have a break a few days. But when we're not playing baseball, you know, I know it's pretty much 4 out of 7 days. But I really look forward to those the games. I know it can't be daily, but it would be nice.
A lot of baseball to be played. We're going to have to win the American if we're going to have a chance to host, I would think. We need, with the competition in this region this year, I think we're definitely going to have to win the American, and we're going to need to pull off some nice midweek wins against the likes of Duke, et cetera, as the season goes. Obviously. Campbell. But, Campbell definitely was where they are in the RPI if that continues. But the ACC teams will come up in the RPI as they – playing league play, so we're gonna have our opportunities. It should be up to us to, if we're gonna host or not. If we handle our business, we will. Conference play starts this weekend with UTSA. I need to go to San Antonio and at least take 2 out of 3.
So, what, Matt? What are your final thoughts before we get out of here?
Final thoughts, basically, like I was just saying, I think we're trending in the right direction. You know, you're starting to see this team really round into form, in my opinion, in terms of, especially with the bats and just getting more contributions from different guys. And I think that's a good sign. You know, the emergence of Bristol Carter is huge. I think Will Coxon getting him going, especially his power bat, is going to be huge for this team. And so seeing him, go yard today, that made me really happy to see that. So I like what I'm seeing right now. And like I said, just find a way to get this W against Elon and get out of there with a win, and you're moving in the right direction. So I'm encouraged right now by what I see.
No doubt. We want to thank our great sponsor is pgxgloves.com. Mark Minakazi, of course, Randy Mazie era, easy for me to say. And Kyle, they've got a lot of cool stuff, don't they? At
pgxgloves.com. Go get your kids some batting gloves, baseball, softball, football, receiver gloves. Maybe you play golf, you need some golfing gloves. Again, I said last week, if you need to hide your fingerprints in the commission of a crime, pgxgloves.com has got you hooked up for that too. pgxgloves.com. Go put in promo code ECU at checkout. Save yourself 20%.
Help the baseball team out by going to the23club.org. That's a special collective part of a spinoff, if you will, from Team Boneyard. And you can sponsor our great baseball team. What a great thing. And also, speaking of sponsors, want to thank our good friend Ed Watkins, as he sponsors Absolute Empowerment with our great friend now, coach, former strength coach, and he's awesome, Jeff Connors. And it's brought to you by the great show Absolute Empowerment is by Ed Watkins Marine. And they're great, great, edwatkinsmarine.com. Man, I tell you what, today, guys, they've got two locations in Denver, North Carolina, that is, and the Cornelius area. Of course, that's Charlotte area, for those that don't know. And I tell you what, Matt, I want a big pontoon boat on a day like today, and we can have a lot of fun. And what do you think? And be on the river or...
Oh, absolutely, man. I'm a big fan of the pontoon boats, and... appreciate Big Ed. Ed's a great guy, and really happy for him. All his success. He's got a great business going, and appreciate all the support.
All right, guys. So don't forget, that'll be tomorrow night. I believe it's 7 o'clock for the latest episode of Absolute Empowerment. We'll definitely be back next week for Extra Innings. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to Extra Innings right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by pgxgloves.com on the Sports Objective. Join us again next Sunday night as we will again talk East Carolina Pirate Baseball. Be sure to follow the Sports Objective on social media. It can be found at the Sports OBJ on X, at the Sports Objective on Instagram and TikTok. Like and follow the show on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you subscribe, be sure to click the notification bell and all so you're alerted on your device anytime we go live or upload new content. As always, we appreciate you watching and listening to the show. Go Pirates!